Institute.
Welcome back to the Weekly Roast. How's it going, guys?
How the hell are you?
How are your hearts? And of course, forevermore. And most importantly, and check in on yourself on a daily basis, how are your heads? What's going on, guys? I had to re-record the intro there because I tried to do it the first time and my voice broke, okay? To which Kieran, my trusty sidekick here, said, did your balls drop in the mid-link? And it made me realise, I sort of thought that balls dropping was going to be a much more defining moment of my adolescence. I remember a good friend of mine who listens to the podcast telling me that your balls could either drop or your balls could drop. You double drop with the balls where basically you're like, you could be, I thought that balls dropping was going to be like mid-sentence, like I'd be having a chat with you, Kieran, and I'd be saying, yes, we'll have a sleepover and we'll watch wrestling and we'll stay up all night. And then all of a sudden I'd be slamming birds, you know what I mean? That's what I thought. Oh, but Mark, your voice still hasn't dropped. Brilliant. Well done. Anyway, welcome back to the Weekly Roast, guys. How are you? Today, we are roasting things people did during the pandemic. Now, look, as any of you who have read my book, relax with the book, don't worry, it's not a full promo, but whoever, any of you who have read my book will be aware of sort of what I did during the pandemic, and it didn't really end too well. And I know that the pandemic was an extraordinarily difficult time for people, not just those, you know, struggling with their physical health, but of course, those much like myself who were sort of struggling with their mental health. So I want people to be aware this isn't a sort of, we're not making fun of people, okay? We're just going to call people out by their names and their addresses and ridicule them for the things that they did, okay? It's sort of, anyway, it's the roast of the pandemic. There were lots and lots of contributions to the question box on Instagram at Megan Mark yesterday. Some of them, like, do some people not know how question boxes on Instagram work, wherein, you know, this is an idea of roasting things that people did during the pandemic. One person just wrote back, went walking. Good stuff. When are you booked into the Apollo, Muirin? Do you know what I mean?
So my partner's elderly uncle who lives next door to us, he's kind of irritating, you know, and he's the type of old person who makes you top up their phone and explain their price plan to them every month, you know, same explanation, different month. But let's just say during COVID, I was doing his shopping for him in the supermarket and cooking him some meals and stuff. And let's just say I wasn't overly cautious about sanitizing my hands. And do you know the way when you go to the supermarket and you touch trolleys and you touch a lot of different surfaces and money and there's a lot of exchanges of germs and that? I just wasn't too careful about sanitizing and, you know, preparing his food and that. And anyway, he's still here. He's still with us and he's still alive and I'm still a free woman. So I don't know, would it have been manslaughter?
Yes, it would have been. It would have been murder. It would have been moida. I mean, firstly, the sigh when she says, well, he's still with us, so come on, Bernard, it's time to wipe your... Like, this is... what a way to start the podcast. She effectively wanted to kill her partner's elderly uncle because he was slightly irritating and somehow couldn't wrestle his cranium around the concept of phone credit. Get it together, Bernard. What is the what is it that you don't understand? And also, by the way, how quickly is he hurtling through his phone credit if she's doing this every month? He's on Fonerotica. Do you remember Fonerotica? You do. That's a laugh. That is the laugh of a man who spent many a teenage summer on Fonerotica. €2.50 for like an animated pair of breasts that took longer to load than my rise to the top of the comedy world. Don't kill your uncle, Anya. Okay, moving on.
So during COVID, our local church had this, what can only be described as like a leaderboard up on one side of the church. And if someone in the parish died, there'd be like a notch drawn, like not even a name or like not a holy cross, like a notch. And I only noticed it during when I was at a funeral. And the person, and someone from the family was asked if they wanted to add their the family member who died's notch, like, to the board. And it was obviously, like, I guess the goal was to be like a sign of remembrance for the people who died during COVID. But the fact that it wasn't even their name or even like a holy cross, it was literally just a notch. Like, it was just so hilarious looking back. It feels like a fever dream. And it honestly, like, the vibe was giving that, like, the priests from all the different parishes, like, gather after work every day to, like, compare the leaderboards. It was hysterical.
Okay, first things first, before we get into that, yoke, isn't it mad the way, like, I have to email a priest now for our wedding, okay? And I didn't know, like, how to... I just find the concept of priests using, like, WhatsApp and email to be totally bananas. Do you know what I mean? What's his password? What is that priest's password? What is it? Is it literally like Jesus 123? Do you know what I mean? Mary _ consecrate. Like, I just find it's like whenever you see a teacher outside school, seeing a priest and imagining them like on WhatsApp or on TikTok, you know, for me is just a completely alien concept. I didn't know whether to say or to address the priest as, like, you know, Gary or Father. It seems very weird to send a Gmail to somebody, hiya father, to someone that's not my dad. And even still, I don't refer to my dad as father, you know? Anyway, back to these priests in their WhatsApp group with their notches on the bedpost. Notches on the dead post, more like. I don't believe it to be true. I don't believe that there's a group of scandalous priests sitting around with, like, a big beanbag filled with Murray Mints. And each time a pensioner kicks the bucket in the local area, they put one Murray Mint on the bedpost. I think it's too far-fetched. And also, ringing up the family of the deceased.
Hello, Declan.
Yeah. It is Declan here, yeah. Why are you putting on that voice mark? It seems like it's the only one that you have up your sleeve.
Nevertheless.
Anyway, rest in peace, Moira. Would you like us to add a Wordless original to the board for those that have lost? You know, it's completely not true. I'm going to say 5 points for effort, 0 points for the fact that it's true. Let's go.
One of the most entertaining things, and possibly one of the worst things throughout the pandemic, was the WhatsApp messages. Every family had a WhatsApp group set up for the first time ever, and then you guys started to get forwarded messages from your parents and your aunts into this WhatsApp group about shortages of what was going to be a shortage on, and can you freeze milk? This was another one that we got. And then you had all of these ones where, so I got this information that hasn't been shared yet, but I got it from my best friend's brother's wife's sister's husband, who works as a guard, and they're getting direct information from Dáil Éireann that they're going to have to put the country into further lockdown, and that there's going to be these repercussions and those repercussions, to the point where people then started sending the most ridiculous ones going, you know, if you leave your sitting room throughout the course of lockdown. You had those ones where people were taking all of these things really seriously, the forwarded on ones from the far off links to the Garda Síochána. And then you had the ridiculous ones where they had the whole, if you leave your living room during lockdown, the Irish Army are going to, they're going to rock up to your house and take you and your family, including all your pets and goldfish.
Yeah. I mean, there came a stage during one of the lockdowns where it's like, how many more lockdowns? Like, oh no, I've got this on good authority. No, you don't, Nuala. You literally don't. You lost your job as the treasurer of the local GAA club, okay? Because you fucked up the trip to Lourdes, and also the under-9s were supposed to go on a swimming excursion to Bunratty, and you brained that as well. So, Nuala, I don't know. There were so many lockdowns, though, that it did become like, oh no, no, we're going into extra lockdown. How can you be in more of a lockdown? Do you know what I mean? Like, we have no life. Our lives had been completely and utterly severed. I also absolutely adore the idea of just that, like, I have it on really good authority. You know, Susan from Greystones. I don't. Well, anyway, her brother's a greengrocer and he works at Moore Street. And last week he was walking by Dáil Street and he overheard two guards in murmured whispers having a conversation about this lockdown that they're going to do, wherein they're going to shoot you on sight if you step within 6 inches of, you know... Such complete and utter nonsense. You know, growing up, I remember reading The Crucible. We did that, was it in the junior cert maybe or the leaving cert? We did The Crucible by Arthur Miller, the play about the Salem witch trials. Incidentally, by the way, Daniel Day-Lewis, who played Johnny Proctor, let's go. He played Johnny Proctor in the movie The Crucible. He's married to Arthur Miller's granddaughter, I think, which is, yeah, the author of that play. There you go, fun. To say Ciarán looks like he's fallen asleep with that information. Anyway, I remember reading about the Salem witch trials, which is in Salem in, like, I think the 16th century, wherein they were convinced that local women were witches and they burnt them. Even though I don't know if there was actually a burning on record, but they, you know, they came close to burning these women. And you wonder how mass hysteria works and how people could become so insane and believe something as absurd. COVID was an interesting insight in that regard, where, like, I've certainly got that sense of, like, things could pretty much turn here in society. We could all become pretty uncivilized very quickly. And you know the way you hear about civil wars and stuff, the War of Independence in Ireland, you hear about families being split in half and you go, how could that happen? How could any reasonable-minded people allow that to happen? And then you saw it in COVID. You saw, I certainly saw, with, like, people I knew, like, sitting around dinner tables and having the most extreme opposite opinions, and to the extent that you couldn't continue conversations. Like, very terrifying time, Ciarán. Right, we go to the next one so I can make a joke about a willy or a bum or something just to even things out.
Okay, so my sister had given birth and my brother-in-law was driving back from the hospital with her placenta to bring it to some place. They were going to make vitamins or tablets out of it or whatever they were doing, gross with it. And a guard pulled him over and he had the placenta in a bag on the front seat. And he explained to the guard he was outside of his 5K because he was had his placenta and he needed to bring it to this place. So the guard was like, oh, yeah, go. Just go on. Didn't ask any questions. So my brother-in-law then for the next 2 months used a fake placenta in a bag to have as an excuse in case he was stopped by any guards. So he got away with it. And the best part was, anytime he went out, he brought me back cheese puffs from Marks and Spencer's.
Is that a victory, though? Is that a victory, the fake placenta? I mean, it's one of those things, it's like, oh, I got in for free in the cinema. Did you? Why? Well, I just walked in and I said, oh, look, I've shat myself. Do you know where the loo is? And so what do you mean you got in for free? Well, they just let me go through and then I was able to sneak in to see Shrek 3. Yeah, but what did you use the fake shit? No, I didn't. I just shat myself. Well, it's not really a victory then, is it? Shitting yourself for free movie passes, you know? Anyway, your brother-in-law is a complete loon. He's a complete and utter loon. Firstly, what sort of Gwyneth Paltrow goop-esque slop is this? Well, literal slop, by the way, wherein your niece is born or your nephew is born and first things first, get a bag of placenta. Do you know what I mean? A sort of get it in a Lidl bag for life and just give your brother-in-law this bag of placenta. What does that even look like? Yeah, maybe I'm showing my ignorance. Maybe I am. That's something, that's a risk I'm willing to take. And then he's going around with like this Bonnie and Clyde-esque sort of, you know, the wind in his hair and his scarf blowing in the wind and just a bag of placenta with a seatbelt wrapped around it. This is insane. And then what did he do to make fake placenta? There's not a guard at Siacona in this country, okay? Man, woman or child who would look at a bag and go, I'm not quite sure that that's placenta. How can we, you know, they're hardly going to check. That is the sort of rationale. That's a real COVID rationale. That is like shitting your pants to get free entrance to the cinema levels of logic, I think. Okay, so look, we've had the elderly people, do you know there was a pub actually I used to frequent in my years in Brighton, and they had a board up in the pub with a list of all celebrities and then odds on who was going to die next.
That's dark.
It's a bit morbid, isn't it? Although I will say this, old Megan could be getting 600 snids if Attenborough decides to, genuinely, I have Attenborough 2024. And I'm not a betting man, but
handy 600 quid
could be towards the wedding, Ciarán. Every little helps. Anyway, we're back. That's a bit sinister, guys. I'm sorry. Not really sinister, just morbid. It's time to now explore some of the more insane purchases made during. Just sort of again, in keeping with the previous voice note. The logic. I feel like everybody did go a bit insane. Obviously, I went particularly insane, but I think lots of people went just a little bit off beam. Would that be a fair way to put it? Like some people were actually, although some of the messages I got on Instagram yesterday, they were like, oh, COVID was the greatest time ever. Just spending lots of time with my family, having drinks, having Zoom quizzes, you know, it was all such a laugh. I wish you could go back. I wish that I had the like psychological makeup to be that person. Because I spent my entire life wanting something like COVID to happen. I was like, this would be amazing. When Leo first made the announcement on March 13th, I was like, this is incredible. For my entire life, the biggest barrier to entry between me and happiness were people. And I was like, once we get rid of the people, we're just plain sailing, baby. And little did I know, it was those people that we need to survive, Carol. So at 8 p.m. this evening, I'm going to be gone out in Castleknock to my doorstep with the pots and pans. And I'll be clapping for people. Not a particular type of people. For all people. Play the voice now.
First lockdown, blah, blah, blah. Ad comes on by a paddleboard, blow up paddleboard. Didn't get like the old Aldi or Lidl one. No, no, no. I go off and buy the fucking €725 one. Great idea. Oh, this is going to do this now in my new spare time that I have. Took it out once. 14 hours getting it up. Used it for about an hour and a half. Folded it all back up. That was it. Moved out of home 2 years ago. Still in my mom's back kitchen. She's not even happy. Every time I go out to my mom's house, I see it out the back taunting me and laughing at me going, gotcha, stupid bitch.
14 hours getting it up, you say? I'm going to take you that and raise you a weekend of drinking it long. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Yeah, this is brilliant though, because I think we all made some insane purchases. I am right there with you, Maureen, in the sense that I bought a kayak. Some of you will remember, if you follow me on Instagram, at Megan Mark, I bought a blow-up kayak. And much like yourself, this is the derangement levels of thinking that was going on back then in my brain. I was like, well, if I'm going to get a kayak, clearly I'm going to at least go semi-professional with this thing. I'm not going to fuck around here and just go for local, you know what I mean? I'm going to take this seriously. You've got to begin as you mean to go on. I'm not going to buy some sort of Mickey Mouse kayak. I want this thing to be, you know, if you've ever seen River Wild with Kevin Bacon, phenomenal 90s movie, by the way. But that's just, I want to be able to go down rapids with this. I bought a kayak. I used it one time. Again, some of you who follow me on Instagram will remember this. This is so bad. Me and a friend of mine went out to Dalkey Island and it took us like 2 hours to get home. Don't worry, it was safe and it was a really flat, calm day and the sun was shining. So I wasn't one of those people tempting in the emergency services or anything like that. And we weren't actually in danger. But yeah, it took us about 2 hours to get home. The most tired and sunburnt I've ever been in my life. We all made ridiculous purchases. I bought this ring, for instance, which seems to particularly irritate people. I don't know. The chain, actually, no, more so. I get, once a week, I'd say, I get a message from somebody going, will you ever take off that fucking chain? Genuinely. Darren's hardly going to marry you if you're still wearing that fucking chain. Brilliant. Is this what you want? Is this what they want from me? No. I'm not taking it off. Anyway, it'd be very easy for us to look at the kayaks and to look at the sort of foot spas and the insanely extravagant jet skis, even though you live in Carlow. Land of the lakes, by the way. But we could look at extravagant purchases and be like, that's insane. But for me, the most ludicrous of all things that people bought during COVID were like boxes of food from butchers and restaurants. They were getting away with absolute murder. More so than the one with the elderly uncle. Oh, did you see the local restaurant in the town are doing a Friday night special dinner box? Oh, are they? Yeah. What's in it? Well, it's €85. Jesus. What's in it? Is it hand-delivered by the owner, is it? And does he cook it for you in the house? No, 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 no. You actually just basically get two burger patties in Ziploc bags, right? And then you get a little sachet of hot sauce. Okay. And then you get to cook it yourself. Brilliant. And then there's a brioche bun that's harder than the heel of a Doc Martin. Do you know, this is... Oh, brilliant. Yeah, sign me up. We'll get two, please. It's good to support local. Local fucking insanity. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's a cocktail kit. If I get... By the way, if there's one thing that we can agree on, COVID killed the casual Christmas gift of cocktail kits. Do you know a cocktail kit? Cocktail kits are real, like... Oh, fuck, I have to go to a family gathering and get my sister-in-law a gift. She already has a dry robe. She doesn't have a job. What'll I get her for her birthday? A cocktail kit. Cocktail kits are things that you give to people who you don't know. You don't like, you've no interest in, they've no hobbies, they're boring, they're placid, bland, pasta white, Egypt individuals who you've no real relationship with. Cocktail kit. It's the equivalent of getting a man a hip flask. Genuinely. And like, oh yeah, Jamie, you like going to rugby, don't you? Yeah, here's a hip flask. I'm 23. I don't, you know. Anyway, lot of foolish purchases going on. A lot of price gouging. At least the hotels weren't at it.
Bog roll storage in case you got the trots for the 2 years of lockdown.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I don't know how many people thought that their bowels were just going to completely implode with COVID. It's sort of like, do you ever see that meme and about guys packing for their holidays? And it's like, why do I always pack for holidays as if I'm planning on shitting myself every second day? When I went to Spain, I bought 6 pairs of jeans with me. Like, what are you doing? Much the same with bog roll. The queues, I remember the first day, that first week in March, and the queues around the block for bog roll. Incidentally, as I said at the time, by most people who look like they don't use bog roll on a daily basis, it was if this was their first foray into personal hygiene. There is a correlation there, let's be real. He likes that one, let's go.
Okay, so this is ingrained in my memory and I think it will be forever. So back in like kind of early-ish COVID times, maybe like the March of the first year of COVID, I was like doing my leaving cert. Well, supposed to be, it was cancelled. So I was, you know, chilling at home, happy out that I didn't have to study, whatever. My mom, like every day, multiple times a day, I would get a WhatsApp message from her. Now, first of all, keep in mind, we lived in the same house. I would be upstairs, she'd be downstairs. She wouldn't come, like she could just walk up the stairs to talk to me. No, why would she do that? I just get like a random link forwarded, always the forwarded on WhatsApp from her fucking girls group chat. Girls being her other friends in their 50s who are getting their all of their news and information from Facebook of how the army is coming. They are going to be patrolling the streets. Nobody's going to be allowed out. She was genuinely worried at one point how we were going to walk the dog. I was like, Mom, let's calm down, okay? Let's take a breath. Yeah, no, had to confiscate the Facebook app from her phone at one point. And we did debate her leaving the group chat because, oh my God, my mom's nerves were unable. Thankfully, the army did not ever patrol the street in our small town, surprisingly.
That person has to win the award for laugh of the century. Unbelievable. Sorry, that reminds me. Still no word from Mrs. Jolly's. Oh. She's gone underground, man. What the hell is going on here? Mrs. Jolly's, if you're out there, please reach out. We are worried about you and your well-being. This is incredible about the WhatsApp voice notes. I think everybody in the sort of contemporary world that we all inhabit, I think everybody's worst nightmare is receiving a WhatsApp message, right? And on the thumbnail, recognizing your own face and then above it seeing forwarded many times. That is the greatest fear. I actually joined a book club. Men with the forwarded button on WhatsApp. I know we've spoken about it before. Dads are the main culprits. But I think it's just men across the board. I joined a WhatsApp group in December 2020, unrelated to COVID. But I had left. I was back in Dublin after being in the UK. But I was still in touch with lots of my friends from the UK. And this guy I used to work with, who was considerably older than me, right? 15 years older than me, was like, mate, we're going to set up a book club. Do you fancy it? And as always is the case with me around Christmas time, I say, this is the year I'm going to become, you know, much more cultured than the year before. And I'm really going to persevere with all of these different things. And I was like, I'll join a book club. I'll read a book a week. So he adds me to this WhatsApp group with like 6 other, who I believe to be like discerning individuals who also wanted to better themselves by reading literature and whatnot. Day 3 of me being in this WhatsApp group, a video gets sent in that was not, you know, like, oh, this is where Hemingway went to the first bull ring, or this is, you know, an interesting take on Ulysses. But it was a video of Kim Kardashian lying in bed. Bear in mind, it's the week of Christmas. And it had been photoshopped. And she just goes, all I want for Christmas this year. And then an Irish accent just gets dubbed in over the top going, a big fucking cock up the house. And everybody was going wild for it in the book club. And I was like, good stuff. That's the end. Like, thank you for that, Jeremy. I'm gone. Like, I don't understand people with the forward button. It drives me up the wall. Speaking of badly dubbed things, a friend of mine was working on a site last week, right? And he went out for his lunch break. And there was these two lads who we'd like usually go and get a sandwich with at lunch. And they were sort of crowded around a phone. okay? And one of them was looking at this video, was showing him a video, and it was a video of Leo Varadkar. But it was one of those like ones where someone's mouth was where his face was. You know those videos, okay? And he goes, yeah, the only reason why I'm retiring as Taoiseach is so I can have more money for myself because I love money and poor people don't deserve money. And the lad turns to my mate and goes, fucking shocking, isn't it? Like, it's not real. Moving on.
Hi, Mark. Definitely has to be the pergolas. Or as I was told one evening in somebody's house when we were over for a barbecue, all allowable, during the pandemic, that it was their outdoor kitchen. We live in the west of Ireland. We get 360 days of rain. I did laugh at that. And we recently returned to the house and there was no pergola. And I said, oh, where's your outdoor kitchen? Well, the timber rotted. We had to take it down. There was wood lice all around the barbecue. Ugh. I nearly got sick. Anyway, love the pod, Mark. The outdoor kitchen. You'd swear we lived in the south of France. Oh, and just to be honest, I did nearly succumb to the pressures of getting the outdoor kitchen. But I was swiftly told, absolutely not, that I wasn't too fond of using the kitchen inside. I was definitely not using the outdoor kitchen.
Good stuff. So your husband's a misogynist. Anyway, no, I'm only joking. But yeah, these outdoor bars were complete disasters. I mean, they happened everywhere in across Dublin as well, but they were calling them tiki bars or tika bars, tiki bars. Which were, let's be honest, more offensive to the people of Hawaii than Pearl fucking Harbor. Like, these things were so, oh, pop over to our tiki bar. Yeah, no, I'm actually grand. Like, we live in Ireland, so it's just, it'll be lashing rain. Oh, no, man, like, it's grand. We've got a tap, we've got a full keg. Do you? Well, it's not really a full keg. It's one of those kegs that you get in the supermarket, which is effectively just sort of like evaporated semen in, I mean, no, foam is what I meant to say. Freudian slip, my boy. But it's just basically foam. Cool, I don't want to go there. No, man, we're going to save so much money with this tiki bar. Like, if you think about it, if you even go here like once out of every 10 times you go to the pub. Look, this is a bit of a sideway thing. I hate when people throw inane statistics at you. Self-created statistics in order to support their point. Particularly when it comes to business. Oh man, yeah, we're thinking of doing this new dog sitting business. Oh yeah, and what's the story with that? Well, think about it like this, man. If you get like Facebook, right, their revenue every year is 10 billion. Yeah, is it? Okay. What's that related to? Like, if you even get 1% of their business, you're not going to get 1% of their business. Every single person that has ever set up an app or a website automatically compares themselves to these unicorns and goes, if we even get 4%, you're never getting 4%, okay? I'm not going to your tiki bar. Aloha, and a laugh. There we are. Brilliant. A little pun, a little Hawaiian tropical sloppical pun for you there, Ciarán. You must be aloha and a laugh if you think I'm going to your tiki bar. Now, guys, just because time stopped, it does not mean that love had to stop. Let's get into all things of a physical nature that occurred during the pandemic.
Hey, Mark. My friend was isolating with her partner at the time and his dad. And then one night after doing what everyone did during lockdown, baked banana bread and start making cocktails at 11 o'clock in the morning, her and big obviously ended up eggmark yucked. And she rang us the next day. We were in tears laughing because we were start calling it then.
Sorry, just one second. Did she ride? Eggmark yucked is Irish for ride. Is she saying that she rode her boyfriend's dad?
Yes.
This is... Continue.
And she rang us the next day. We were in tears laughing because we were start calling it then. Doing the double in the isolation bubble. Her and the other half ended up splitting up. He doesn't know. He will never know. And to this day, he still hasn't found out. But anytime somebody in the group fucks up, we call it a double or doing. And it's literally going to stay post-pandemic now.
Good stuff. I mean, just good stuff. Sleeping with your boyfriend's dad. Ah, just the old double last night. Did you? Yeah, you broke up a family. Is that the sort of light, jovial, convivial tone we're taking when it comes to splitting apart man and son? Next.
Okay, I'm out myself here.
I downloaded Tinder when the pandemic started. We were all doing social distancing. I was still working though. I was living at home by myself, and so I downloaded Tinder again and started seeing somebody, but couldn't tell anybody because I don't think I could have coped with the guilt from my parents or my friends. And we continued seeing each other, and then I found out I was pregnant. So I was like the Virgin Mary, having to tell my parents and my friends at the age of 30 that, surprise, I'm having a baby with somebody you haven't met. But it was all good because we stayed together. We were together 4 years this month, and we have 2 children now. We live together. So it worked out in the end, but yeah, a bit embarrassing.
Fair play. I think that just deserves a solid fair play. I'm delighted to hear you found your happiness. Well done. Now, before we get to the nice story, okay, if you want the rose, you've got to pass the thorns. And the thorn in this instance is the next story. Let's go.
So, matched with a guy on Tinder literally a few days before lockdown happened. So we obviously couldn't meet up in person. We decided to have a video call date, which went amazingly. I was like, oh my God, this guy is great. So over the next 4 to 6 weeks, we continued to have online video call dates. We were texting constantly. We were on the phone every day. I was like, typical, meet a lad that I can't meet up with and like, I'm mad about him. Eventually, we decided to meet up. We kind of broke the 5K radius rule. And as soon as I met him, I was like, oh God, this isn't for me. I had such ick straight away. But I was like, oh God, I've invested so much time in this guy. Like, I'll just go with it for another while and see. So he had asked to meet up again, and I was like trying to put it off. And then eventually I obviously had to agree to meet up again. The girls were like, look, maybe have sex with him. There might be a spark there. Don't call it quits. Like, you've invested so much time. So I was like, oh, right, okay. And that absolutely didn't work. It just made things worse. He called me by the pet name that my parents and my siblings call me.
No.
Midride, which was horrific.
No.
And he also made such intense eye contact with me that I had to put a pillow over my face. I thought I'd never get him out of the house that night. And then I eventually, after not even a couple of weeks, it was probably a couple of days later, I called quits, and I felt like I was breaking up with someone that I'd been married with 20 years. That was the level of intensity. And yeah, it still took a couple of weeks after that to get rid of him, but it was horrific. I'm still not over the trauma of the whole thing, but mainly the ride. It was horrific.
He called you the nickname, the pet name that your parents and your siblings call you mid-ride. That's just unforgivable. Guys, that voice note came in from Sugar Tits McMahon. So to all the people of Waterford, no, that is genuinely, I just don't understand how that would happen. What was the pet name? Why would he call it to you? And then I'm interested in the eye contact piece. I mean, how much eye contact is too much eye contact? Apparently too much. The fact that you put a pillow over your face, that would look like a kink. You're moving into kink territory there. But you stuck the knife in at the end, saying it took 2 weeks to get rid of him. God love him. God love the guy. He must have fallen and fallen hard. Now, guys, before we finish the podcast, I thought every now and then it's okay to include a little bit of sincerity. And more so since the release of the book, I'm, as I've told you about on this podcast, I'm now massively at this sort of existential and identity crossroads wherein I don't know which personality to adopt anymore, because I've shown too much of myself in the book, and now I can no longer simply hide behind the mask of comedy forevermore. However, we're going to inject a little bit of positivity to the podcast today as a little bit of balance, as a balancing act. And we're going to finish with a nice story. So here you go.
Hi, Mark. So basically, me and my boyfriend met about 3 years ago now, and we met on Hinge during the pandemic. And I think it was the second lockdown. And so we met on Hinge, and we actually went to college together, but never crossed paths. He's in the year ahead of me in a really small college course. Graduated together and everything, but never met him. So invisible string theory and all that. And we both lived abroad and then had moved back with the pandemic. And we met up for our first date, which we had in the Phoenix Park for a picnic, because there's still like lockdown restrictions and a lot of bars, restaurants, cinemas and all were still closed, so we were very limited on what to do. So we had our first day and it went really well, and we said, oh, you know, we'll keep it socially distanced, but it wasn't, as you do. And then, you know, we went on a couple more dates, things were going really well, and maybe like 2-3 months in, things were still sort of in lockdown, and we really wanted, you know, to get away and get our own space together because we were both living at home. We booked an Airbnb, but at this time you actually had to have, like, it had to be purpose. You had to have a purpose for your trip. So obviously we weren't going to be like, oh, well, the purpose of the trip is to have a night together and get the ride. So he got a letter written by his dad's company to say he was traveling for work and that we were co-workers, just, you know, in case someone asked, like the Airbnb person asked. I'm sure he knew. But anyway, we got away with it. But it's just really funny to think of these things, you know.
There you go, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the Weekly Roast. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always, talking to you. Keep sending me in your voice notes. Let me know what you'd like roasted. Any suggestions, thoughts, comments, queries, notes or ideas would be greatly appreciated. At Megan Mark on Instagram. Tell your friends. Thank you to everybody who's spreading the word of the podcast. Please send it to your friends. Let them listen to it. Let them enjoy it. And have a great week. It's Wednesday. You're nearly there. You're halfway there. Happy hump day, as my British colleagues used to always say. Take care. Speak to you soon.